Christian O'Connell Breakfast Show.
So listen, Stephen, a lot of people are sort of surprised about you deciding to do stand-up, but I remember Rubberneckers.
Yes.
Well, it was you, a portly man, I'm not sure what's become of him, called Ricky Gervais. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Carr, again, yeah. Where's he?
Sure.
And Robin Ince, who's still hugely prolific and yeah. a very talented man. It was the four of you, and it must have been like 2000, 2001.
I mean, that is that's a die-for ticket, isn't it now? Imagine that, Bill. That's the O2 Arena right there. Well, goodness me, that was a long time ago. That was weird because we were all sharing a house as well. I remember Jimmy Carr walking around in a towel, proudly. Pop some pyjamas on, Jimmy.
Hang on a minute, this sounds like a modern day movie of Porky's. A carry-on movie.
Yeah, and then Ricky, a difficult man to live with. Because it would be sort of, you know, you'd be watching the telly, it's sort of 10 past 10 in the evening, and you'd be like, right, I'm going to bed now, switch it off, it's too loud. What? No, this is not your house.
So listen, tell us about the stand-up tour then, because I know over the years of interviewing you, it's something you said that you'd like to get back to and yeah. sort of that. So what sort of prompted the move to getting back to
it? Well, it was one of those things. I had sort of unfinished business with stand-up. I used to do it, like you say, years ago, and I don't know, somewhere along the line a couple of years ago, I thought, you know what, there's an itch that needs to be scratched. And I went back and I've just been doing it in the little clubs, you know, around London and so on.
And how have they been going, the sort of, the drop-ins and
much
stuff?
Much better than they were first time round.
Was it really tough?
It was tough for first time round because I was sort of, I don't even remember Rubberneckers, but I was sort of a character.
Yes.
Because people didn't know who I was. No. I came out and the joke was that I thought I was a big shot in the West Country, but yeah. no one else knew,
yeah.
which was great when the audience went for it. But if they didn't go for it, they just thought I was an arrogant comedian from the West Country. And because I couldn't sort of step out of character, because I didn't have an act except for the character, if they were heckling, I had nothing. Because the idea was I was a bad comedian. So in Exeter, for instance, I remember they were merciless. They actually shouted, taxi for the comedian. I did not know that actually happened. I had to stay on stage for 20 minutes just to silence.
Stuck in
it
this
was
character.
Weird. I have always thought it must be like if a parachute doesn't open. Initially, fear gives way to, oh, well, I'm here now. There's nothing else I can do.
You must have an interesting sort of angle and what's been going on the last couple of years, your life personally, because we all know the Ricky story. It must have been so much stuff which makes for a great material and a good
stand-up.
Well,
one of the things
show.
I want to talk about more and more is that presumption that when you've sort of been on the telly or if you've got a modicum of celebrity, that suddenly life changes. That say they open a door and they go, come through here and hang out with all the other superstars. Look, it's Mick Hucknall. And you go, fantastic. It's the dream come true.
The Mick Hucknall door.
Yeah. And that's obviously not the case. You know, yes, obviously some things change that are brilliant, but there's also lots of other weird new neuroses that develop, and that's sort of.
It must be hard to hang on to any kind of normalcy in a way, because there are so many exciting things, but it must be very weird.
Well, I was saying
as well.
To someone else, it's sort of. I remember when I first went to Los Angeles and I got picked up in a limousine. I was like, "Wow, I'm in a limo!" And the next time, hang on, this limo's smaller than the last one. What's going on here?
Windows jammed on the passenger side.
Yeah, exactly. And it is amazing how quickly you kind of acclimatise to.
So, have you found it hard over the years to sort of hang on to?
To keep it
the Bristolian,
keep it
real. Yeah, to keep it.
Real. I know you're worried about whether
to keep
I'm
on the lo-fi. Yeah.
Well, luckily I'm just not that well known, but it's useful. I got a grandmother who's quite good at keeping me down to earth. I remember when we first won a Golden Globe, my mother gave her a photo of us winning the award as a sort of Mother's Day gift, and I walked in to see her, and she was looking at this picture, and she went, "Oh, this is good. It'll never happen again." Just straight away. It wasn't even a hello, Steve. Before that, it was straight in. Enjoy it now. Won't happen again.
So when you feel you're getting too big-headed, you put a call through to her or something. She's there in an advisory service for you.
Exactly. She's always concerned I'm not making any money. What are you doing? Ricky's making loads of money. What are you up to? She's terrified. Gives me 20 quid in an envelope.
Christmas
Yeah,
time.
Buy yourself something nice. That'll help you with the rent.
Are you dating, or is this also a quest to look for love?
This is there's a
grooming.
Thread of I hadn't thought of it like that, but no, it's nominally an excuse to meet a wife. Yeah, no, but the thing is, I'm concerned because I kept on saying it's about me looking for a wife, and I'm worried that it's just going to be an audience of 21-year-old single stunners, and I just want to reassure people that ugly women are welcome, but also ugly men, good-looking men with their wives, everyone's welcome. One of the other things I always find funny is the pursuit of romance, dating. It's because there's such an inherent drama in that. When a guy goes on a date with a girl, or the other way around, there's exactly what both people are after. You know, you want it to go well. In the man's case, probably some kind of scrondle at the end.
What
of it.
Is a scrondle?
I don't want to say. I've just realised I can't say what that means. We'll just leave it at that.
I'm hopping on Google.
Yeah, we'll play a record and I'll explain what a scramble is.
The Christian O'Connell Breakfast Show.
I've seen the posters everywhere for Hall Pass. This looks great. I mean, the Ferretti brothers, what a great thing to be in one of their movies.
Yes, this is a movie with Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
Owen gets given permission to have an affair, and I am one of his lovable band of misfit friends.
I've seen the Dickie Bow in the poster.
Wearing
already
the Dickie Bow. Do you know what? I'm on the poster, and I don't know where they've got that picture from. I didn't do a photo shoot for that film.
But it looks like it.
I don't know where they've photoshopped it in from somewhere.
Up in the attic. You don't look real.
I'm not even sure it's me. I honestly don't know where they've got it from.
It's like a composite. You know when the police say, we're looking for someone like this, and you get, no one looks like that.
I know I had to give them my passport when I was filming for an hour. Maybe they just photocopied it. I honestly don't know where they got that picture from. Whether it's a still from the film.
It's like Madame Tussauds.
But it is. What contempt they have for the UK. Yeah, we'll just stick on a Photoshop picture of that lanky guy. That'll be fine. But it's pretty good. It's funny. It's, you know what to expect from the Farrell is this.
Yeah.
It's naughty. Yeah, there's, you know, there is bodily functions. There is
anyone kicked in the nuts in the first 30 minutes?
I can't remember if they're kicked in the nuts, but there's equivalence. There's certainly equivalence. It's outrageous.
And so what, are you going to be doing more work with Ricky this year? I know the TV show's on Channel 4 this week as well.
Well, we've got the animated show, that starts again on with Carl, obviously. It starts again on E4. And this is the one, I'm excited about this first one, because they've animated Carl's movie pitch. Are you familiar with Carl's movie pitch?
Yeah.
He actually had a meeting with movie people, and his pitch involved some kind of like brain swap movie idea, and his ideal casting was Rebecca De Mornay, who hasn't been in a film since 1985, and the actor Clive Warren. He meant Clive Owen, but Clive Warren was the person he described. And honestly, they've animated imagining what it would look like if it was a real movie. It's so funny. And when Morgan Freeman shows up as the Doctor, it's something special.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's very funny. But we're also, Ricky and I are also working on a sitcom called Life's Too Short about
Has that been picked up? Is that happening?
That's happening. We're making that later in the year.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. So are you in the process of writing that, or
writing
is it almost done?
Moment. Yeah. And I'm trying to get into the mindset of a little person, small person. Yeah, that should be hopefully out later in the year. I think it's going
to
be funny.
Well, listen, I can't wait to see the talk. You are actually coming to Dorking Halls, right?
Okay.
Which is where I live. I bet you don't even know where Dorking is.
I just get in the limo. I go where I'm told.